turn.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Mr. President?
Yes.
Hi, this is Mike Finn.
Yes, Mike.
I first want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I'd like to take the case to wish happy birthday greeting to our very charming First Lady.
Thank you, Mike.
Say, the reason I'm calling is, you probably know, the postmaster in my district is retiring at the end of the month. And now, I've never been given any appointment, but I'm asking you to direct Larry O'Brien to appoint Francis J. Killery in Cleveland as post temporary or acting postmaster under code section 393315, which authorizes the postmaster general, as you know, to make an acting or temporary appointment for a period of 6 months. Now this,
drop me a note on it, will you? I've got a good group here that I'm working on, my program, about 10 from Washington, and just drop me a note and I'll get it there in Washington. I'll try to be there Monday.
Monday. All right, Mr. President. I certainly hope that you will give those instructions.
I just don't know a thing in the world about them, Mike. I don't ever interfere in matters like that. I think a cabinet officer usually knows the situation, and we pretty routinely forward their stuff. I don't know what the programs are, or what their plans, or what the picture is. I would like to do anything you would like for me to do, but I'd like to hear your proposal and your presentation, and then I will ask them to give me their reactions to it, and I'll look at both sides, and then I'll make a decision and let you know.
Well, this is according to President time immemorial, the congressman has had that prerogative to appoint the, or recommend and have appointed the postmaster in his district.
Well, some cases it do and some they don't. I had a good deal of problem when I was a congressman with one of the best friends I had because Roosevelt wanted to name somebody else. And the president has to appoint him, and a good many times he looks to congressmen to recommend him, but a good many times he doesn't. And I have no one that I have in mind, and I would naturally normally look to you to give me advice like I do to a senator on a judge or some of that. That does not mean that you naturally transfer the appointive power, the Constitution, to the individual, but we want to follow their recommendations if we think they're the best ones, best friends we have to advise us. And I know of no one that I would want to listen to in preference to you, but I want to look into it.
Well, this young fellow, by the way, ran for Congress in the 23rd District. He was on a platform of support 100% for it.
That's good. Well, that's what I want to do. And I would say offhand, I just don't know, but I know of no reason why I wouldn't prefer your recommendation in Ohio and that area to anyone else's. But I don't want to make a commitment where you'd say, well, you promised me over the telephone that day that you'd do something, you didn't do it. You get me a letter, mark it personal and confidential and eyes only for me, and get it to me by Monday.
Yeah.
And give me his qualifications, and is he a veteran?
No.
Well, now how will he stand on the examination then? You see, what happens when you appoint an acting postmaster, you got to call an examination. You have the examination, and my experience as congressman was most of the time, you had one of two things. The man that worked in the office had preference, but the only ones could be ahead of them was a service-connected veteran, and then a veteran. And the service connection gets a preference, and you can't pass him over. And so I would give a lot of thought, A, to trying to find a service-connected one, because your acting will just serve a short time, 3 months till you get an examination, then he'll be out. And if you could find some good friend that had a service-connected veteran, that was a service-connected veteran, look at the Veterans Administration's records in that area.
I mean, a disability.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he he could take the exam, and even if he just passes it, you can't pass him up. You got to take him. Right. So that would ensure you having the man.
Yeah.
Then the second one, if you can't get a service-connected one, I'd get a veteran.
Yeah.
And then third, I'd try, if I could, get someone in the office with experience, because he always gets the best rating.
Yeah.
Now, what I happened, I had to take one I didn't want at all. Because two reasons. One, he's Roosevelt's friend, that he had some connection somewhere. One of Roosevelt's friends wanted him. And second, he was service-connected veteran. He got 10 points preference.
Yeah.
But that didn't bother me. What bothered me was you keep passing him over without writing a letter and telling why he's no good.
Yeah.
And then that gets you in trouble.
Yeah.
So you write the letter on who you want for acting. But if you want to control that office and the personnel in it, and the right kind of people, if we follow your recommendation, I would sure suggest you go after a service-connected person that would be your friend, and if you can't get him, at least a veteran, and if you can't get him, at least someone in the office.
Yeah.
In that order.
You mean the one who was a career man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some carrier, or some assistant, or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you very kindly.
Thank you, Mike. I'm glad to hear from you. I look forward to seeing you.
I do. Thank you. Bye.
Waiting.